Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, 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 y'all. Welcome. Welcome to Financial Intelligence, hosted by me, your host, Stephen Hutchinson. Welcome to Financial Intelligence. Did you hear those words by the OJs describing about the things that people will do for money? Well, welcome to Financial Intelligence, because this is the place where we discuss and we have that all-important conversation. Yes. That conversation, the money conversation, which we know and feel is an absolute necessary conversation to have. We as a people need to have that conversation on a regular basis, because we live in a capitalist nation, in a capitalistic country, where those who have and possess the wealth dominate and control the economy, control the society, control corporate America. So we need to understand, what is this thing that people are chasing after? Money. What is this money? So, appropriately, today our show is titled, What is Money to You? But specifically, the question is, what is money? What is it actually? This thing that people are so obsessed with and chasing. So today we have as a guest and a host and a partner, my illustrious business partner, Miss Kim Williams. How are you doing, Kim?
I'm doing good, Steve. And how's everybody out there?
Excellent. Excellent. We're looking at the weather here. It's kind of cloudy, overcast, rainy, but nonetheless, we got to get through it. So I'm glad you're here to help me out to actually dig in to this conversation. Huh?
Well, it's definitely a good conversation.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, personally, I feel like, you know, it's a conversation that we don't have enough of. You know, we don't really sit down and analytically, scientifically, surgically analyze and critique our relationship with money. You know, even though everyone's either working very hard for it in some illegal means, or they're working very hard for it in some illegal means, or they're working very hard for it through a job, or they're working very hard for it through their own business. But if you think about it, it's like everyone is working for it. Everyone wants it. Everyone wants money. People who have money want more money. People who don't have money want
some money.
No. So in this way, I think it's just a very curious thing, you know, that we don't have a conversation. There's no university or a university course that you could take that actually teaches you about money. How, you know what I'm saying? It's like it's like a given. Most people, if you wanted to sit down with someone, for instance, Kim, if you wanted to sit down with a friend or a family member and have a conversation about money, how long do you think that conversation will last?
Not long. One, because most people tend to evade when it comes to talking about money. You know, it's just one conversation that I find a lot of people don't really want to talk about because the lack thereof. But you made a great point, you know, about what is money. It's different things to different people. And we as a people, we have to realize that what it is to me, yes, it is an exchange of a form of exchange, right? You exchange the paper or the coins or for something in return. But again, you have to analyze what is it to you besides that. You know, like I said, when we start to really analyze, okay, what does it mean to me? You know, yeah, I know the definition of it, but what does it mean to you? You know, as I was listening to the intro for the love of money, you know, people selling their bodies and the things that they will do for it, you know, because they're putting such an importance of what it is. What do you get out of it? You know, so is it gratification? Is it things? What is it to you? Is it more important? And those are some of the things that you really have to think about. And when you talk to me about this topic today, I had to really think about it myself. You know, besides the exchange, the financial exchange, okay, what else is it?
Right.
Let's get past that. You know.
Right.
Really, at younger, I never really thought about money. I just knew my parents had it. And when I wanted something, I asked for it. Hey, I want to go to the store. Can I have a quarter? Can I have a dollar or whatever? And I would exchange that to get my candy, because that was me, my candy. You know, but that's all it was. But as I got older and into the working world and in college, you know, now you really start and you start to have a family, you really have to start thinking about that because, you know, like you said, you're going to work. You're exchanging that time for a paycheck, ultimately, which is money. Mm. You know, is that money more important than your family?
Good question.
You know, are you going to be at work 80 to 90 hours a week and never get to see your kids' first step?
Mm.
You know, so when you start putting value on it and looking at it that way, think differently. You really think differently.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's very, you know, analytical, the way that you're critiquing it. And that's the whole point of this, is to critique the relationship that we have with money, because we can see our behavior, how we are behaving in relation to money. I mean, kind of like you were leading to the question of, you know, what are we willing to sacrifice for money? Like you were saying, you know, we sacrifice mm-hmm. our time. Time,
yeah.
You know. So with that time that we're pursuing money, we may not be able to see our family, see our children, exercise, meditate, develop our self development, personal issues, our mental health, our physical health, our psychological health, relationships with friends, relationships with spouse. You know, if these things are off balance and we're pursuing money and sacrificing all of those things, don't we have to at least question? Don't we have to question that at some point and see where is the balance? Because if the result of me pursuing money is that I am going to destroy, you know, a great portion of my life, is it worth it? Like, where is that boundary? You know, where is that boundary? And why am I doing that? And even, of course, we are all in pursuit of money because we live in a capitalistic nation. That's the first thing. I think that's an important thing to realize, that we need to consciously realize that we are pursuing money. Why do we have this mad pursuit for money? It's because of the way the society that we live in is structured.
Right.
You know, I don't think that it is our nature to just pursue money in a natural, balanced society. I don't think the first thing that a person would do naturally is to wake up in the morning and want to rush out and go work for somebody else. I just think it's not natural. If I didn't have to do that, would that be what I was doing? Would I actually just be working for somebody else and working for some coins and for some paper to accumulate some paper? Would I be doing that? You know, am I doing that? You know, am I doing that because of the circumstances under which I live? You know, I got to pay rent. I got to pay a utility bill. Yeah, I have to pay insurance. I have to pay taxes. You know, all of these
things. Can't forget
that. Exactly. That's right. And that's something people often forget, is they leave out the taxes, right? But, you know, if we borrow money, we have to pay interest on those loans. If we make mistakes in our bank accounts, we have to pay fees. You know, we live in a society that is infested with the necessity, the need for money at every turn. If you want health care, well, you're going to have to pay for it.
For it. Mm-hmm.
You know? If you have car insurance, not only do you have to pay for the insurance, but then you'll have a deductible. Right? So even though you have insurance, you're still going to have to come out of your pocket for the deductible.
Right.
You know, it's the nature of a capitalist society that every turn is going to cost us. We're going to have to pay. So I think that we need to think about that, you know, because we're just thrust into it. It's like you said, when you were younger, you didn't ask any of those questions. You're just like, hey, my parents have money. I need money. Let me go get some. I get what I want, and that's it. But where is the analytical questioning the critique as to why are we in this mad pursuit for money. And I very much attach it to that's the nature of the society that we live in.
See, we think so much alike. No. I was saying exactly that same thing. Society says, okay, yes, we all know that money is a need. But in what capacity is it a need? You know, do you have to accumulate millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars to be comfortable? No, right? But because there is this thing of keeping up with the Joneses or the Smiths or whomever, you know, that, hey,
right.
I got to one-up you. You know, I got to have more than. Yes, we want to be comfortable, but like you said, when you start analyzing, okay, you have to internalize it. The person, each person has to internalize it for themselves.
Yes. Yes.
Because do that, then you become a slave to, I personally believe, to the money. Oh, I got to make more. I got to make more. It's not enough. You know, I'm comfortable. Nothing is being shut off. All my bills are being paid. But I need to have more. You know, you think about the Mega Millions, right? The lottery
yes.
that just happened this past week. And the billions of dollars
right.
that, you know, people have that opportunity. Oh, if I hit the lottery, and there's nothing wrong with dreaming big and things like that. I'm going to do this, and this, and that. You know, but why not be complacent or comfortable where you are?
That's a very good question. That's a question. Because I think what you're asking is that instead of just pursuing money, and just wanting more and more and more and more, that we have to have some kind of evaluation. Like, what is it that I'm actually pursuing? If money is an objective for me to pursue, how much money do I need to accomplish what it is that I want to accomplish? To just pursue money just for the sake of money, it's like a madness. It's an obsession. Just
right.
money and having no principle. So like in the song, For the Love of Money, the OJs, you know, singing about how people will steal money. They'll rob for money. They feel they need money. They will murder for money. Sell themselves
right.
for money. You know, they feel that the dollar is almighty. The almighty dollar, and if I could just get more money, I'll solve all my problems.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that, Tim?
Well,
what do you think about that? That concept that money solves all problems.
That's not true, because the more you have, the more responsibility you have, more expectations.
Mm.
Of you, and if you're not that person of integrity that you want to take on that responsibility, then you see these cases of where, oh, you're making over $100,000 a year, right? And
yeah.
you're in debt for $150,000 or more. You can't pay your bills on time. Because you're just chasing more, and the responsibility aspect of you have to be responsible, even as a child, with whatever it is that you have. If you don't teach that, then these are where the problems come in. Because think about it this way. Let's look at it this way. When you work for something, and you work hard,
yeah.
oh, I'm saving up my allowance for this bike, or I'm saving for this, and then once you actually reach that goal and get enough to go buy it, you feel proud. Your chest is puffed out. You know, I did
right.
this, you know, I accomplished this on my own, or maybe with some help, but majority of it was me.
And then you take care of it better, too.
Yes.
Compared to, oh, look, I got to accumulate more. I got to get more. I got to work harder. I got to do this. And that thought, you don't even have time or room in your brains to even start analyzing and thinking about, okay, well, wait a minute, what is this for? You know, what am I accomplishing? What am I giving up? You know, is it worth it? Because, again, you like you said, value. Money, is, you
right.
have to evaluate it. And that what you bring in, is it enough? Is it worth time, the effort that you put into whatever it is you're doing to make that money? Is it worth it? And sometimes, more times than not, it's not. You know, these are some of the issues. Money is one issue that happens in most American families. When there are money issues, look, everything else get funny.
How about that? How about that?
You're not spending time with me.
Say, yeah, there are statistics that say most divorced marriages are over money.
Mm-hmm.
Has to do with money. Now, that brings me to another point that you were also pointing out is the attachment, the emotional attachment that people have to money. I think this is another thing overlooked. When people think of money, they don't consciously think of them being attached to it. They don't consciously think of their emotional attachment to it. But their behavior shows that they're emotionally attached. Because if I'm spending 8 to 10 hours a day working for something to the neglect of so many other aspects of my life, then I must be motivated by something. And if it's not logic, it's emotions. People are very emotional about money, even though most people don't admit it to themselves. And again, like we said, where do you go to learn about money? Where do you go to question your attachment to money? Where is that university? Where is the money university? Since we need money for practically everything that we do, and I could say the world, but I want to specifically talk about the United States of America. Since we need money for practically everything, even if you want to bear a child, you have to go to hospital, there's going to be a bill, right? There's a bill there. In order to take care of your child, it costs money. But yet, the subject of money and understanding of money is rarely ever even considered. It's rarely even discussed. It's just like a given. You know, like, of course we need money. We got to get money, 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 money. You know, like the OJ said, money, 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 for the love of money. Of course we love money, but we do not critique it or analyze it or put it in perspective. Or like you say, we don't value it on based on our own personal preference. But
right.
We are in hot pursuit of it and wanting more and more and more, but never really quantifying it and understanding, you know what? This is what I need. This is what I want. This is what I'm willing to do to get what I want. But this is all I need. You know, like getting down to some basic fundamental things like creating a budget, for instance, and
mm-hmm.
understanding our finances, doing a financial needs analysis. Like, how many people actually sit down and do a financial needs analysis?
The real question becomes, how many people really sit down and even do a budget and even think about what it is they have coming in and what they have going out? You know,
that's right.
Because that's key. It's necessary. If you are making any type of income, you have any type of money coming in, you need to have a budget. You have to, because if you don't know, you don't know. You're in the dark.
That's right.
And all of a sudden, you're like, well, wait a minute. How come I'm slow pay? Or how come I can't pay my bills on time? Or, you know, even with the credit, well, why won't they give me credit? I pay my bills every month. Yeah, you pay them every month, but you may not pay them on time. You may not pay what they're requiring of you because you don't know what you have coming in. You don't know what you're spending your money on. Prime example, I met with a gentleman about a year and a half ago. Self-employed, good income coming in, but this man spent $1,600 a month eating out.
You said $1,600?
$1,600 a month eating out. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Mm. And I, you know, I questioned it, you know, to each his own. But it doesn't make sense to me. And that's me personally. You know, my thoughts are definitely different. Like I said, to each person, you have to analyze and point out what's most important to you and your situation, your family, you know. Now, just imagine if he saved or put away a third of that or a quarter of that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Oh, he wouldn't have the problems that
exactly.
he had. But I personally think that's just a lot of money to eat out.
So that person was experiencing financial difficulties and financial shortage, but spending $1,600 a month on eating out.
Eating out. Yeah. That's crazy.
Wow. Exactly. So you're saying that if that very same person had a budget, then that person would be able to see what the financial situation was and how to fix it.
Yep.
Right?
Yes.
But without a budget,
it's hard to do that. And again, the importance, you know, it's a personal thing with each individual. Like you said, it's very personal. When you're talking about your money, well, what you mean?
Right.
I made it. I went to work for it. I should be able to do whatever I want to with it. But true, to an extent, but if you can't pay your bills because that's part of your responsibility, you made it, you have to pay them. Right?
That's right. That's right.
So,
that's going to cause problems.
In the long run, it does. So,
exactly.
You know, some of the things that I'm learning, and I, you know, when I sit down with individuals and talk about that, you know, I'm just kind of finding out, getting it in their heads to where they are, how they feel about money, what's important, you know, because if it's not important, you can't change that person.
Right, they'll see no value. They'll see no value in it if it's not of importance to them. And since you're talking about your client, Ken, since you're talking about your client, you want to let everyone know what type of business do you do? What is your...
I'm an independent agent, insurance agent, so I help families make sure they are personally covered with life insurance, because that's something that is needed for everybody. If you have anybody relying on you for anything, you need some type of life insurance coverage for yourself and your family. And part of, you know, that aspect is just educating me personally, educating them on what's out there, what's available to them, but the education is definitely key, you know, and that's one of the reasons why I love this podcast with the financial intelligence, because that's one aspect of it.
Absolutely. Now you're on that, and, you know, you're mentioning insurance. So could you elaborate a little bit on why life insurance is important? Like, why would a person need life insurance, or what benefit would life insurance do for a person? Because a lot of people think of life insurance, especially people who live in families who do not utilize the tools of life insurance. For them, they're looking at it, oh, well, you're just talking about me leaving money to somebody else after I die. That ain't going to do me any benefit. That's not going to do me any good. You know, I need money now. I want money now. So, like, how would you address that issue of people thinking like that? Could you shed some light on the value of life insurance?
That's an awesome question, Stephen. You know, more so than anything, people think of life insurance as death insurance. You know, the person is just, or my family, my loved ones are just waiting for me to croak.
Right.
Right. And I leave them something. But life insurance, one thing that I've learned since I've been in the industry, you know, the last 4.5 years has been that it's not for you. It's for those that you leave behind, you know, because just because you are no longer here, bills don't stop. You know, mortgage doesn't stop.
Right.
If you have young children and that income that you were providing is no longer there, so now you're leaving a spouse added stress of, okay, well, wait a minute. Now I need to go out and find another job or another two jobs to help compensate the income that was coming
That's
in
law.
From my spouse.
That's right.
You know.
That's right.
And then
money.
Thinking about, you know, the schooling aspect. Okay, well, what am I going to do? You know, we made these plans when we got married. We're going to have children. They were going to college. They were doing this. But I can't do that because there's one income coming in now. You know,
right.
And a lot of times people have said, and I've heard this quite often, oh, I'm not paying any dead man's bills. You know, once you pass away, if you have debt, that debt still should be paid, and it needs to be paid. And life insurance can allow for that to be done. Where it's not coming out of
okay.
your loved one's pocket, that death benefit that was left, of course, after the final expenses have been taken care of, can be utilized to possibly pay off a mortgage so your loved ones can stay in the house that you built together.
Okay,
you know?
So that's a practical and a somewhat unique utility of life insurance, because you're specifically talking about paying off a mortgage. So you're saying that, let's say a married couple, they're married and they're both working, they're both bringing in income now, and they have a mortgage. So they're paying off that mortgage. So you're saying if one of them dies, the other spouse is going to be left with, first thing, they're going to lose the income that the other spouse had. Right?
Yeah.
So that's gone.
Yeah.
You know, who knows what percentage that was. So that's lost. The second.
God forbid
is that,
if it was the major breadwinner.
Exactly. Exactly. So then the next consideration is going to be, now I have to maintain all the bills myself, or the spouse that's left now has to pay all the bills that two people were paying. This one person has to pay all of those, right? And they lost a significant portion of the income. And then there's the expense, the funeral expenses, burial expenses. right?
Definitely.
And so forth. So you're pointing out that life insurance could actually be a tool that you put in place so that if that happens, you will not have to go bankrupt, or you will not have to suffer a very severe economic blow by having a life insurance policy in place.
Having that, it's key. It's very essential. I believe that a part of any financial plan, even as individuals talk with their financial planners, I would hope that their planners are recommending that they have some type of life insurance policy, you know, because it's definitely different for different people. You know, on average, your life insurance policy should be roughly around 10 times the annual income, your annual income. So with that in mind, you have to think about that. If it's a two-income household, you both need to be covered, because we unfortunately have no clue to know when we are going to leave this earth.
Right. We
and
know
we're
going to check out, but we don't know when.
We don't
do.
Know
we
when.
All come here with an expiration date, but we just don't know what that expiration date is.
Like one
right?
Person that I potentially met with, you know, the husband was working and the wife wasn't. Oh, well, she doesn't need anything, you know, because she's not bringing an income into the household. I said, she's not bringing a monetary. I said, let's look at it this way.
Mm-hmm.
I said, and that's great that you pointed that out, but I just want you to look at it from my glasses. She's not bringing in a monetary amount into the household. She's
right.
Taking care of your family. So that allows you to go out and work.
Right.
You bring the income into the household. So if she was no longer here, who's going to watch your children?
Okay. Yeah.
It was like, I never really thought of that. You know,
mm-hmm.
Yes, there is daycare and things like that, but that's
great. That costs money.
That's
right.
An added cost. And
that's
do you
right.
have those funds to send them to daycare? On average, you're talking
yeah.
about, depending on where you send your child, $125, $150 and up a week for one child.
That's right. That's right.
And you have three. Wow.
Do some multiplication.
I didn't think about it that
yeah.
way, Ms.
Do
Kim.
The numbers. That's right. Do those numbers. Plus, then you're still not sure if your children are getting, like, the love and the attention and the care, you
mm-hmm.
know, the diet. There's a lot of things out of your control when you have to pay all that money and, you know, give your children under someone else's care. So, yeah, that is definitely something to consider.
Yeah.
So
there's more
did that
to
person,
definitely
did that person
more
appreciate
to...
that? Did that
they
person
did.
Appreciate that
and
insight?
He did, and he did end up getting a policy for his wife. It wasn't as much as him, but, again, he was the major breadwinner. I say, because you never know. And that's
mm-hmm.
life insurance is for the what-ifs in life. You know, a lot
right.
of times I hear people say, oh, no, I'm good, until something happens. And when that something happens, it's like, oh, I should have been better prepared. Or why didn't I do this sooner? Or I should have been thinking about this like when I was in my 20s or in my 30s instead of now. It's so expensive. So it's all about
exactly.
preparation. And, you know, when you think about it, it goes back into what we're talking about as far as money and the value and what it is, what it can do. You know, money can provide security for
right.
you, your family. It depending on who you talk to, money is power.
That's right. It can be. It can be utilized as power. That's right.
Yeah, for good or for...
Because it's a tool, because money is a tool, you can use it in a variety of ways.
Right.
It depends on how you use it. You could actually be completely overpowered by money. You see? So whereas money is overpowering me, and I'm just pursuing, I'm in the hot pursuit of money to get more money and throwing away all of my energy, all of my focus, all of my concentration, throwing it away, trying to pursue money. Or I could control my money, actually, and use it as a tool to accomplish my goal so that it becomes a power for me. Or money can be used as power against me.
Right.
Those who have money, those who control money, you know, can use money as a tool to control us. Like many times that happens in the job market. The employer is utilizing money as a means to control the employee. You see what I'm saying? So the employee in this way is most of the time not in the powerful position because of the power relationship and the financial relationship between the employee and the employer. So the employer has control of the paycheck. The employer has control of the money. So the employee, the subservient position, the powerless position to work for the benefit of the employer. So in that relationship, the employer has the power, has control, and is using money to control the employee.
And I believe,
what are you thinking?
I believe, Stephen, personally, if an individual becomes or learns to become content with whatever it is that they have, whether it be a little or a lot, you know, that it just makes it so much easier. Not mm-hmm. saying that it's anything wrong with having more, you know, because I think back to, like, from the biblical perspective, you know, we have to learn how to be content with what God gives us.
Yes.
Or whomever it is that you serve, you have to be able to be content with that. Because if you're content with that, nobody can utilize that power or control that, oh, you have to, like with the work, you have to come in. Because if you don't come in, you no longer have a job, you know, or if I can't make more, I'm going to do whatever it is necessary.
Right. I'm going to take it, the almighty dollar. I'd do anything for the almighty dollar. So in that way, again, we wind up in the position of the powerless. We wind up in a position of a slave type relationship with money, where money is ruling me, ruling over. I don't have any principles. I don't have any power. I don't have any control. I just am possessed or obsessed with the needs for money. And that can be in a job market where people are working like slaves and sacrificing everything just to be able to pay bills. Or that could be in the criminal market where people will do anything for money. You know, in murdering people, robbing, stealing, lying, cheating, you know, in their professions, they're doing that. So that is a position of one who is enslaved to money.
Right.
As you were saying, if you have contentment, right, if you have some self-satisfaction in your own self in relation to money, which I think is, you know, very much what we're talking about. What is money to you? That's why we're discussing this subject of what is money to you? If you never visit that, if you never visit those questions, then you're not going to be able to have that contentment that you're talking about.
Right.
Because you're just in pursuit. You want more. It's just like, okay, there's a new iPhone out, so I got to have the new iPhone. But do you ever ask yourself, why do you need
a
new iPhone?
You know what I'm saying?
What's wrong? What's wrong with the old one? Why are we pursuing all these shiny little things?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, so if those questions are not there, we're going to be sucked in. We're going to be sucked into the marketplace, sucked into the job market, sucked into, you know, the position where we are always the powerless. We're always like in a slave-type relationship where we are trying to pursue this, trying for that, the newest object, the newest shoes, the newest handbag, the newest phone, the newest computer, the newest this, the newest that. Why are we pursuing these things? And I say that the only way we can attain that contentment that you're talking about and be able to control ourselves and also, like you were leading to, live beneath our means.
Okay.
You know, stop trying to live above our means. We could get some control. We could get some financial intelligence. And then we can have all the things that we want, including wealth. If we want to be wealthy, we want millions, billions, trillions, whatever people want. If you want those things, you can have them, but only if we put them in perspective. I believe things have to be put in perspective. And for the most part, all the things I have learned in school, the things I have learned in college, the things I have heard in general, they do not prepare one to actually be able to be content in oneself right now. If you're content in yourself right now, you can pursue anything. You can think about it. You can plan. You can execute. You can learn. You can study. You can grow. You can increase your understanding. You can increase your quality of your life. And you can pursue anything you want. But this mad pursuit for money without questioning what we're doing, I think is very destructive. And that's why, you know, I wanted us to have this conversation, this money conversation.
This would be my recommendation to everybody that's listening to us on this podcast today, is to really ask yourself the question that we've been talking about. What is money to me? And then as you write that down, you'll be able to, and then also, okay, the Bible tells us we should have a vision and make it plain. We have to write it down. So whatever it is that you want out of life, you know, people attribute having a lot of money to success. Not, like I said, there's nothing wrong with that. But, okay, I want to be a millionaire. Hey, I want to be a millionaire. Me and my capabilities. You know, but with that millions, what is that going to do for me? What is it going to allot for me to do for others? You know, what gratification, what am I going to get out of having that $1 million?
Mm.
You know, and as you write that down, you know, you get to see what your relationship is with money and how you feel about it. Like they say, people get funny when you start talking about their money. You know, because they feel that they don't have enough of it, or if accumulate more, then you're going to want more of what I have. You know, that crabs in a barrel syndrome. You know, so
right.
These are some things that I would recommend.
People have a lot of insecurities. That's right.
Oh,
people
yeah.
have a lot of insecurities around money. Again, another subject we don't want to, you know, broach. Another subject we don't want to enter into is about our insecurities about money. You know, I personally know, you know, growing up, I had so many insecurities around money where I felt that if I don't have money, that I am not really worthy. I'm not important. I'm not accomplished because I don't have money to prove it. So if I'm struggling financially, I'm thinking that that decreases my value as a person, as a human being, as a friend, as a family member. You see,
not thinking about the other qualities.
Exactly. So that's the imbalance that this pursuit of money and not understanding our relationship with money has with us. And many times we look at other people too. It's like if you look, especially in our society, in America, like the worst thing you could possibly be in this country is poor. Okay? If you're poor, mm-hmm. you have no value, you have no voice, you have no control, you have no power. You know what I'm saying?
As they say, you have nothing to offer.
Exactly.
And that's not true. That is not true by a long shot.
No, it is not. Mm-mm. But that is the psychology that we're dealing with. And we see it all around us. We see it all around us. We see it in the government. Who takes the high positions in the government? Poor people or wealthy people? Right? Who runs mm-hmm. the major corporations in the world? Poor people or rich people? You know what I'm saying? Who takes all the powerful positions, even locally, in state government, in the city government, in corporate America, the positions of power in the business world, the positions of power are controlled by the rich or controlled by the wealthy. So even though they
right.
are just a small minority, but they occupy the positions of power, which automatically sends a psychological message to everybody who is not rich or is not wealthy that you are not important, and it's because you don't have money. So if you want to be important, get money, get money, get money. And look at the younger generation. Look how they think about money. You know?
Now that would be so interesting if we took a poll.
What kind of
the relationship, the poll of how, if you looked at children, young adults,
mm-hmm.
and adults, you know, what
mm-hmm.
do they think and how do they feel about money? Be so interesting.
Yes. I think we should put together something like that, you know. Perhaps to, there are not many millennials or young people on Facebook, not that many. I think they kind of visit there, but there are some other platforms, perhaps
Instagram.
Or Snapchat or something like that, you know, where we could do a survey, you know, that would be interesting as to get an insight into the way they see their relationship with money, you know. But if we look at the behavior, then we can see that most of them think money is the greatest achievement. You know, you just got to have money, you know, because these are the types of messages that are coming through the media, through the
television,
movies, through the music. You know, it's all about money, 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 how much money I got, what I got, what I own, how many cars I got, how much this I got. It's just, you know what I'm saying? It's a barrage. It's an invasion of this concept that, well, I got money, so I'm important. You know?
Right.
If I don't have money, then I'm not important. So I think it's psychologically damaging. It's psychologically damaging the type of environment that we live in this capitalistic society, that people are judging themselves by how much money they have. So, you know, but hey, if you're born in a family that doesn't have money, that doesn't make you inferior. But the society may make you inferior. So, you know, it's of importance. And that's why, you know, we're doing these types of shows on the podcast, to do a very analytical, surgical analysis about money and our relationship thereof. So at this point, we're about to wrap it up, about 3 minutes, Kim. So if you want to give us some final critique, final thoughts on the subject matter.
Like I said before, you know, I think each and every person listening really has to answer that question for themselves. It's not our job to say what money is to you, because, mm-hmm. you know, we all have a different affinity as to what it is for us and what it can and will do for us. So you have to be able to answer that question for yourself. And once you're able to do that, then you can go to the next step of, okay, well, what is it that I am willing or not willing to do in order to get that money? You know, that goes
willing
into...
Willing to do or not willing to do. That's right.
Because you have to think about it. Because if you realistically say, okay, money is everything, you know, I got to be able to pay my bills. I got to do this. I got to do that. So I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to do illegal stuff to get this money to pay these bills.
Right.
So, you know, you have to answer, what am I willing to do and what am I not willing to do? I'm not giving up all my time to pay my bills and make this money. I might learn how to live differently, you know, so I can balance, because it is, you have to be able to balance life, family, work, all of that, in order to have a healthy relationship, a healthy family life. So you have to be able to see that and understand that money is not the end all and be all of everything. Because if you even think about, okay, where is money going to now? It's in a paper form right now. Paper coin form, but think about the digital world. What happens when money is no longer there and available to you? What do you do?
How about that? And I think as you mentioned earlier about writing down what are your financial goals, and equally important, what is it that you think you will attain by having that money?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a very important aspect of the analysis, is that not only,
right.
because a person will say, I want $1 million, I want $10 million, but the question is, why do you want it? What is
yeah.
it that you're going to do with it that is going to give you such great satisfaction? And when you start breaking all that down, you know, oh, well, I need a home. I want to be able to travel. I want to be able to buy, you know, I want to get a great education for my children. I want to start a business. Then you're really getting close to the things that you want and you need, because then you understand, what is it that you think this money is going to bring? If you can't just think of the money. You have to think of what it is that you want the money for, because you may be able to get many of those things without the money. But if
right.
you don't really know what it is you need the money for, then you're just trying to get money. I just want money. More, and then, you know, more money, more problems, because all you're doing is pursuing money. You're not pursuing your true goal. Is your true goal to have the money, or are your goals to get the results of what the money is going to bring you?
Right. Is that satisfaction?
Exactly.
The valuation, the value of whatever it is you're looking for.
That's right. And then when you you go beyond that, and with this we're going to wrap up the show, is when you go beyond that, when you go beyond the money, and you go to the things that you want the money to bring you, so you say, I want the money, you ask why, then you talk about the things that the money is going to bring you, and then you have to ask yourself, why do you want those things?
Mm-hmm.
What is it that those things are going to bring me? And then, like you just mentioned, you know, about satisfaction, self-esteem, self-value. Now, if you look at all that, and if you look at that whole picture, you may actually find that what you really want, money's not really going to bring it to you anyway. And you can obtain that self-worth, that self-value, that self-esteem, self-love, happiness and satisfaction. You can get all that now while you're pursuing your money. You don't have to wait for satisfaction based on how much money you have. So with that, we're going to wrap this up. I'd like to thank everyone for their participation in the podcast and Financial Intelligence. And thank you very much for your contribution, Ms. Kim Williams.
Thank you for having me. My business partner,
you are very, very welcome. My business partner, we are both members of the Entourage Financial Group, where we provide you with products and services to help you in your financial development, in the protection of your home, in the protection of your family, and securing your future financial well-being. So I'd like to thank everyone for their participation, and you can reach out to me. My number is 610-955-6508. That is 610-955-6508. We also provide income tax services to help people in their financial pursuit, and you can reach us at PowerTax2X's.com. That's PowerTax2X's.com. Any final words, Kim? Are we signing off?
Signing off. Have a good evening.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Remember financial intelligence and be powerful.